The content presented in this radio show, hosted by the attorneys of Legacy Legal Planning, LLC, is intended for educational purposes only. It does not constitute legal advice, and listeners are strongly advised not to rely on the information provided for specific legal decisions. Legacy Legal Planning, LLC, and its attorneys are not responsible for any actions taken based on the content of this show. For personalized legal advice, listeners are encouraged to consult with a duly licensed attorney in their respective state.
Streaming at WMEXBoston.com and on your smart speaker, just say play WMEX. The greatest hits of all time are back. This is the all-new WMEX.
WMEX Boston.
Legacy Legal Live, hosted by Kendra O'Toole, Michelle Reed, and Elizabeth Caruso of Legacy Legal Planning, is a show about discussing your estate plans, options, and answering your questions. Call in at 781-834-9639 and start your lifelong partnership covered by benefits that you've earned through proper legacy planning. Now here's your hosts, Kendra, Michelle, and Elizabeth.
Good evening. I am Kendra O'Toole.
I'm Michelle Reed.
And we are from Legacy Legal Planning. You're listening to Legacy Legal Live. Elizabeth is off tonight. If you've been listening for a while, you probably know where she is. You guessed it, in Florida at Disney World.
Warmer climates, and we're jealous.
You can find us online at legacylegalplanning.com and on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Legacy Legal Planning. We are attorneys from Legacy Legal Planning, and tonight we are going to get a little bit into the why of estate planning, but we do want to give a reminder that our show is for educational purposes only. It is not legal advice. We recommend that you speak to an attorney that is licensed in your state to get guidance on proper estate planning for yourself and for your loved ones. We also want to remind you that we enjoy getting phone calls from our listeners. So please call with any questions that you may have. The phone number is 781-834-9639. So please feel free to call in with some questions.
Or if you want to just talk to us individually and you don't want everything on the air, you can always feel free to call us at our office. We're happy to chat with you and schedule a 15-minute complimentary call at 781-971-5900 and ask for any one of us three ladies, and we'd be happy to chat with you about your individual question.
And so we have been talking the last few weeks about the legacy journal that we are putting together for you to create your story and your legacy for your loved ones. And so we're just going to announce the prompt again for now for this week so that you can, if you are joining us in this journey of doing the journal, that you can put this in your journal for your loved ones.
We've been having a lot of fun with this. If you're social media savvy, as Kendra mentioned earlier, definitely hop onto some of our platforms. We create a video each week with our prompt, and we've been getting some great feedback, which is nice. So this week's journal prompt is for you to write about one of your favorite family traditions. And that can be something that you participate in over generations, or you've created one with your family. Off the top of my head, I always get some flack for this in the office because I'm very traditional. I like to do kind of the same things over and over and over again. I'm very family tradition oriented. And my husband and I, we met in college. And it's not that far of a drive from where we are. It's about a 2-hour drive or so. And we graduated, I won't give away our age in the year, but we graduated several years ago. And every year since we've graduated, except for the year that we got married, we go back and visit the campus every single year. And since we've had our son, we bring him along too. And it's really nice. We enjoy it. And that's my little family tradition. And hopefully we keep it going as long as we can.
And the reason you didn't do it the weekend that you get married, because it's usually that weekend that you go. So the anniversary weekend that you...
You know, I found out after we got married that the school allows... we could have gotten married at the beautiful state park across the street and then had a party in one of the halls at the school. And had I realized that, I would have done that. Absolutely. Cheap beer for everyone.
Hooray!
So we hope this has brought... up some memories of family traditions that you have and that you can write down to leave for your loved ones. So hopefully carry on that family tradition as well. So again, this week we're going to be talking about the why. Why do people do an estate plan? Why do people call attorneys to learn about it? What kind of triggers that issue for them to decide to do it? So one of the biggest reasons that we see often that people come to us to do estate plans is asset distribution. They want to be sure that they are leaving to the people they want to, and that they are taking care of their loved ones and ensuring that their wishes are being followed rather than the state law.
We get into a lot of conversations about this because we so often have folks that come to us with, you know, we say, you know, loving blinders on quite a bit because, you know, in a beautiful world, family relationships are wonderful. And we have so many folks say, well, you know, I've got two kids. We're so simple. Everyone likes each other. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing. They know what to do with my assets. And we appreciate that. And we hope that it always stays the same way. But then we counsel clients and say, well, you know, even though your wishes have been verbalized and everyone would do with open heart and full intent what they think you would want, sometimes the law might prevent them from doing exactly what you want. So if you have goals and wishes for the ways that your assets should be distributed, and if it's not very run-of-the-mill, or even if it is, sometimes we have some legal restrictions in place. So it's so important to make sure that you're also executing the proper legal documents to make sure that your assets go the way in which you want them. Because think about it, we've got things that pass by beneficiary designation. We have items that could be jointly held individually, and each item might have a different path based on the law if you don't execute certain legal documents.
And so with this asset distribution, as Michelle said, you know, it might be as simple as, oh, they know what I want or how things are to go, but the law does have a really different kind of eye of what they think should happen, especially in certain scenarios, such as blended families, if it's a second marriage or there's children from a prior relationship. And I know we've talked about this on past shows, but that's really a big trigger that we find a lot of times the law does not actually achieve what people's wishes are. So it's really even more important in that situation to do a plan to ensure that your wishes are being followed.
And a couple of shows back, we did a show where we really drilled down significantly into blended family dynamics and how estate planning plays a vital role in those. But just sort of top level in this regard, we have families who think, okay, this is my second marriage. I still want everything to go to my spouse, but perhaps you have adult children from your previous relationship who are hoping or assuming or have been told otherwise. So these are the cases where asset distribution needs to be quite clear. Again, beneficiary designation and your estate planning, if those don't jive, that can create a lot of the problems that we see, frankly, on the far end when we're working with a probate issue or a misunderstanding. I'm using big air quotes in here, but that's when we can end up in some litigation situations.
Another specific time that we have people come that are really focused on the asset distribution is if their spouse is in a nursing home. They still want to take care of their spouse and be sure that their, you know, spouse receives funds that are needed. But at the same time, if they're in the nursing home and they're on Medicaid MassHealth, if there's only $10,000 left at the end, that $10,000 kicks them off of their benefits. And so we deal with spouses that want to ensure that they are taking care of their spouse, but at the same time in a proper manner that won't get them kicked off their benefits. And this can be done properly in a will and by trust and whatnot to ensure that their spouse is taken care of, but not jumped off those benefits, because that's really to have to go through that whole process again, if and even jumping not just spouse in nursing home, but to beneficiaries that are on benefits. If you are leaving to anybody that is on some type of government benefit, no matter, you know, whatever amount they're getting, most of these benefits have maximum asset allowance. And we find a lot of them are around $2,000.
A convenient number.
And that number is tiny. And so you might just be leaving $5,000 to your nephew. But if they're on benefits, that will kick them off.
So that is a great, we kind of deal with that in several ways, but two major ways. You can plan for that beneficiary within the body of your estate plan, or speaking to your family members to see if they perhaps have a supplemental or special needs trust already set up, to which you can leave, instead of leaving directly to that beneficiary, you can leave it to that trust in one way, shape, or form. So these are little things that you might not be thinking about in terms of, well, why would I need to plan? These small but significant issues come into play, and the only way to handle them is beforehand through an estate plan. A lot of these items we can't fix once we're gone.
So that's one of the reasons why people come to do an estate plan, that asset distribution. Another reason that we most commonly hear is avoiding probate or making it easy. Also using those air quotes here.
I just want it simple.
Right.
Which, you know, don't we all? I mean, that's a very valid reason. But simple means something different to everyone. But I would say in 99.99999% of our clients, it's to avoid probate.
And the avoiding probate means not going through the court process. You know, in Massachusetts, and again, I know we've talked about this on some other shows, but we also know we're getting some new listeners, so we like to get into a little more detail of this process. The probate process is something that is left open for a minimum of a year after your passing, that creditors can come in and, you know, claim money that they're owed. And you are really keeping the assets kind of frozen and at bay for that year. And so a lot of families want to avoid the probate process to not have to go through and deal with that court.
And to that point about the year, I actually think us and estate planners like us have been doing a great job of making that information known, that probate is open at least for a year. But beyond that, what we're finding is folks think that the moment the year is up, the probate's done, wrapped up, we're good to go, everything's closed. But frankly, it just has to be left open. There are still items that have to be done in order to close the probate, which can actually prolong it significantly beyond the year, especially if you've got quite a few assets that one has to account for. The process typically goes far beyond the year.
And depending on the assets, there's oftentimes taxes. And, you know, tax season is in that April time.
We're at the mercy.
And we don't always, not everyone passes away at tax time.
That's my goal.
And so, you know, it takes time for things to be able to process. I mean, if you pass away in the middle of the year, your estate will still need to do the income tax return for that first half of the year that you received income for. And so all of these things drag out that process. That is still needed with a trust administration as well, but you're not holding up all the assets for that year. With a trust, you can usually do partial distributions to ensure that your, you know, loved ones are getting some funds in a fairly quick manner while still holding back other funds for tax purposes and whatnot. But you're keeping that ball rolling a little quicker and helping out your loved ones by giving them some money that might help them pay, you know, student loans or a mortgage or whatever, you know, else that they may want, go on a family vacation, whatever it may be. But with that court process, no one's getting a distribution at all until you're past that year.
Death and taxes. But along this point, we're talking about the whys. Why do people do estate planning? And part of the why is, why would you do anything? Maybe you have a plan in place. Why would you update it? Why would you come back to it? Why might you do something different than what you've done in the past? A lot of folks will come to us with a will alone. And to the point of if their goal is to avoid probate, that document alone will not accomplish that goal. Another one of the things that we're hoping to educate and spread the myth busting is a will does not avoid probate. It's a wonderful tool for direction. It's if you want to determine where your assets go, you can place that in the body of the will. You can indicate who your beneficiaries are. You can indicate who your personal representative is. Used to be called an executor. You can indicate who that person is going to be, but it has to be presented to the probate court in order for any of those wishes to be followed and for that person to be appointed to take those actions on your behalf. So a reason why you might want to relook at your plan is if you only have a will and you now have a goal and you realize that probate avoidance is probably a good idea, you might want to consider updating your plan to a trust plan.
And if you have a trust plan, it is key to also be reviewing that to ensure that the assets that you currently have are in the trust. It is common that you create a trust, you put your assets into it today, but 10 years down the road, you've now opened up a new investment account at Charles Schwab, or you've opened up another bank account at a credit union because you bought a new car and they require you to have a bank account to get the car loan. You know, we don't really think of these everyday little things that pop up that can create probate property if we don't review and ensure that it's in our trust. And so a trust does avoid probate as long as your assets are properly titled into that trust. You can have a trust. It can be beautifully written and all the pages that are needed and, you know, all the explanation of how to be able to avoid the court. But if you're not actually putting your assets into that trust, you are falling right back to that will and that court process.
And also some of the items, if you do have a trust, making sure that the terms, the people that you've appointed, that all still works for you. I have a client who recently came to us to update her trust plan. She was on the ball, which was great. But, they had had a tragic death in their family. They lost a parent and there was several siblings in this case. One was appointed as executor in that situation. And a whole bunch of things went awry. The estate plan wasn't quite clear and it caused a rift in the family. So my client had a sibling that at one point they were very close, named as a trustee, and now they no longer speak. And if she hadn't come to update her plan, that sibling would end up being her trustee when she passed away. And that was, you know, very clear, the last thing that she wanted. So making sure that you are taking a peek at these documents to make sure that the people that you've named are still those that you would want in charge.
The next reason why many times somebody comes to do an estate plan with us is to protect minor children. Naming a guardian in a will is a common reason that people come to do estate planning. That's usually one of the bigger triggers that we see. You know, when couples get married, they kind of feel like, oh, under the law, they think everything goes to each other depending on their situation. And so then they really might not take any action until they have children and want to be sure that they're naming guardians. And so there are also times that they need some guidance with who to name for guardians. A lot of times we find most people have a stronger list and kind of a stronger feeling of who they know they don't want to be guardian.
I like how you're putting that.
But then they need to really think about, you know, okay, we have these four people that would be great. What order do we put them in? Who do we feel is truly the best one to step in first? What if they're not available? Who should be that backup? And so it can be hard for people because we also find that this is sometimes a reason people don't do estate planning. Yep. You know, it totally goes both ways. We've had people come in that say, oh, our children are now, you know, in their 30s. And we've been saying we've had to do this since they were born, but we couldn't decide who would be guardian. So we kind of just kept going. And luckily, thank God, nothing happened that they didn't need it. But unfortunately, that's just not a crystal ball that we all have and can determine. And so many times people do realize we need to be putting down who should be taking care of our children. And again, a lot of times that might happen because they know we don't want these people to be able to step in and take care of them. So we need to take action.
And honestly, that's one of the first things I say to clients, you know, who are a little, you know, timid about, you know, we can't decide, we're having difficulty, it's maybe causing them to not plan. That is the example that we use constantly. Listen, think about the person that you would absolutely not want to come in and have authority over your children. What if that person were appointed? Because, hey, they look great on paper. And it's a possibility. If they're an interested person, if they're a family member, and you know, they check all the boxes, a court won't know that they, whatever the dynamic is that you would not want them to care for your children. A court might not know that. So they could potentially be appointed. And that seems to motivate quite a bit. It would motivate me.
And it also leaves it open for a temporary guardian to be appointed first for your children, and that temporary guardian might not be the person that ends up having them full time, because yeah, there could be five people that go to the court and try to argue why they're the better choice to be that legal guardian. So now your children have been settled in with one person for a while. This court case could take years, really, you know, to depending on how much fighting and proof and evidence and everything that's going through. And then your children are being moved again to somebody else. And so this just really leaves a lot of unknown and uncertainty and change for your children in a time that's already so difficult for them.
And from the perspective of if you're the person, let's say you've had a conversation with a loved one and they've come to you and said, listen, you know, I want you to take my kids if anything should happen to me. But you know that they don't have it legally documented. That's something to bring up and say, listen, you know, if you're ready, willing, and able, I'm happy to do this for you, but you have to make it legal for me to be able to do it. So that's a way to open a dynamic, because lots of times, you know, oh, you'll take my kids, right? You know, we could joke about it and be very serious about it, but until we have it legally in black and white executed properly, that might not be the case.
And if you haven't had that conversation with somebody, even as a, you know, oh, you'll take care of my kids, have it. Do not just do it without naming them legally.
And just to add to that, I actually saw a situation in where that was basically the case. It was a rather unfortunate situation where the mother had passed away unexpectedly in a car accident. 2 years later, the father passes away in a car accident. And, well, who's going to take care of the two literally not even 10-year-old kids yet? So it ended up being, you know, a brother of the father that ended up having to move his entire family. And this guy, you know, no names or anything, but was in the service and literally had to relocate and redo his entire family, not even just his life, his whole family's life, just to be able to include those two children safely with family where they should be.
Yeah,
and no plan. That'll really put a kink in the plan, let me tell you.
It's always a horrific, tragic circumstance, of course, when young children lose a parent, or young families don't have a parent to rely on. It might not just be death. It could be incapacity. It could be, you know, substance abuse issues. We see it all. But we find, too, that there's so many people. You might actually have a team of people stepping up to help out in that case. But then that also can cause an unexpected argument as well, because everyone might feel a sense of obligation or duty. And you want to take that away as well and just be clear in your decision making.
So protecting minor children is a big why of why people do actually come and meet with us and decide to do the estate planning. Another one that we commonly see in Massachusetts, and I'm sure in other states as well, but we have a little bit of a lower threshold than a lot of states, is trying to minimize estate taxes.
Those pesky taxes again.
So in Massachusetts, it used to be that if you had over $1 million in your estate, then your entire estate was subject to a tax. That has recently gone up to $2 million. And there's been a couple other changes with that are changes for the better.
And don't giggle when we say $1 million or $2 million, because a lot of people laugh in our face. But in Massachusetts, when you calculate the value of your home and your assets, if you own real estate around here, it's
one
crazy
property might do that.
Yep.
Right. And one of the things that I think most commonly that people kind of laugh, and then we kind of myth bust this and they go, oh, and they don't realize, is that life insurance proceeds get included in that many times.
Oh. Kind of like that.
When people are sold life insurance and purchase it, one of the, you know, things that are often told about it is that it is tax-free, which is true for the person that's receiving it. It's not income to them. It's not something they have to put on their income tax return, but it does get added into your estate tax when you pass away. So if you have $1 million policy and your home and all your other assets, you are most likely in that taxable estate.
And this is not a PSA against life insurance.
We think it's not
an incredibly valuable tool. But if you have it, we just want to make sure that we're planning for it in one way, shape, or form and educating you on, you know, the potential for your taxable estate and then what you can do to minimize it.
Right. I just think that's one of the big, you know, myths out there, is that life insurance is tax-free. It is in certain scenarios, but not when it comes to the estate tax. But it is tax-free, as, you know, income to the person receiving it.
I will receive it. Thank you very much.
So that's why people keep taking those benefits while they're alive. Interesting.
So, you know, it is a very good tool, and it's an important tool, especially to provide to pay off a mortgage if you lost your spouse, you know, to help pay for the daily living because you are losing an income. So that's what it's really used for, is to replace that income, but it then gets included in that full taxable estate here in Massachusetts. And so there are things that a person can do to help minimize estate taxes. I will say a lot of these tax minimization tools are commonly for married couples. But there are some tools for single people as well, if they wanted to try to minimize estate taxes, that they can take to try to help with that as well. But the couples have a little more leeway with trying to do some planning to help minimize that.
Yeah, and we're talking namely trust planning. So essentially, if you think that you're in a taxable estate, having a conversation with a knowledgeable attorney about what your potential liabilities are. Well, we have clients, our clients have the most incredible senses of humor. I just have to say that, and it's so wonderful. I was telling someone the other day that you can hear booming laughter from our conference table on, regularly. But, you know, we have a lot of clients who say, well, I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to be here. So if you are worried about it, definitely have a consultation. And so the next item that, it's funny, we talk about this all day long, and so many folks don't necessarily, you know, we're thinking about after I'm dead, after I'm gone. So many folks neglect the lifetime planning and why it's important, you know, and some folks, again, I'm dead, I won't care if you have that mentality. How about if you're living but incapacitated? There's certain planning documents that you want to have in place to name someone to make an important decision on your behalf if you're unable to make it. We're talking healthcare proxies and powers of attorney, making sure that you have those lifetime documents if you don't feel as strongly concerned as others about your legacy. Hopefully you feel concerns for what goes on during your lifetime if you're living and someone needs to care for you, make financial decisions for you.
And these lifetime directives, I think so much we think about court and when you pass away. Oh, I want to avoid court when I pass away. I don't want my family to deal with the court when I pass away. Like, that's kind of always what people are expressing. But avoiding court during lifetime, I think, can be even more crucial, because when you've passed away, there's no emergency in the sense of the probate court. Whereas when it's during lifetime, if you don't have a healthcare proxy and you're at the hospital and they're trying to make decisions of life support and surgery and whatever might be happening, those decisions cannot be made without a healthcare proxy. And so then somebody has to go to court to get guardianship over you.
Even a spouse.
Yep, your spouse does not have an inherent right in Massachusetts. There is no law that says if you're married, your spouse gets to make healthcare decisions for you. That's just not the case. And so you need that healthcare proxy to avoid court during lifetime. And I think court during lifetime is even scarier than court after, because at least court after is just waiting for, you know, yes, you're waiting for powers, you're waiting for authority. There can be some concerns of a home or real estate, but it's not somebody's life and deciding on what needs to happen for their care.
And alternatively, probate court during your lifetime for financial matters, right? Because just like a spouse doesn't have an inherent right to make a medical decision, they also don't have a right to make a financial decision unless they're a joint owner on an account. If they're merely a beneficiary or merely our spouse, they don't have an automatic legal right to make financial decisions or do financial actions on our behalf. And that, a court in particular, has actually flat out told us, this is a financial situation. We don't consider that an emergency. So it's even less likely that you'll have an expeditious lifetime probate court process in regard to a financial matter.
And sometimes in our eyes, it can be an emergency financially. If you have a spouse that's ending up in a nursing home for long-term care, but you are the spouse at home and you guys qualify financially, so there's not really that much money for the spouse at home, but if they're having to pay $17,000 a month for nursing home care, that spouse is also going to be destitute. And if they do not have that power of attorney, they are having to step in and get the court to give that authority to make decisions financially.
Yeah, and sadly, we see it time and time and again. You know, Liz is actually a great authority on this. So we'll do a show in the future, hopefully, in regard to some lifetime probate situations, which, you know, they're difficult, but they're good learning tools as well.
Okay, so I think that we are at a good spot for our break. We are halfway through our show. We're talking about the reasons why people have stepped in and decided to make an estate plan and met with us. And you're listening to Kendra and Michelle here on Legacy Legal Live on WMEX Boston.
Vacuum City in Plymouth is your full-service sales and repair station, as well as the top local distributor of Miele and Bissell commercial and home cleaning products. Don't miss out on the Uncle Tony special exclusively for WMEX listeners. Get the Little Hercules vacuum for free when you purchase the 8-pound upright. Go to vacuum-city.com or call 508-746-0721 Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Make sure you tell them Uncle Tony sent you. Call Vacuum City at 508-746-0721.
The Prom Angels Foundation provides dignity and fun for people of all abilities. And on behalf of their family to yours, thank you for helping make life's memories worth remembering for everyone. For more information and volunteer opportunities, visit promangels.org today and sign up for your next memory-making adventure with Prom Angels.
Hey folks, join me every Wednesday night, bell time, 7 p.m. Joe Matarazzo here, your authority having jurisdiction of the Squared Circle, right here, WMEXBoston.com, 1510 a.m. and 101.1 FM. Card subject to change.
And welcome back to Legacy Legal Live on WMEX Boston. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I just want to start off first, again, just saying that this is for educational purposes, and we are just trying to help give you some more knowledge regarding estate planning, but we do ask that you actually speak with an attorney to learn more about your situation and your goals and your wishes for your estate plan in your state if you're going to move forward with this. We had talked a little bit on our past shows about our legacy journal prompt that we're doing every week. So I'm going to have Michelle give the prompt for this week.
Yeah, and this journal, if you're just tuning in and just saying, what is a legacy journal? the goal behind it is for you to leave written or digital, right? We said we like the idea of having a physical journal, but if that's not something you're capable of or you're done with physical writing, we're giving you weekly prompts to share your stories, your memories, your traditions, you name it, for those that come after you, and leave it for your family. Lots of times these things, you know, if we don't share them with each other, no one knows. So we're giving you some prompts weekly to write about these things. And this week, we are asking you to write about your favorite family traditions. And you can be fun about it, sentimental, you name it, but that's this week's prompt. And if you want the others, feel free to tune in on the recorded shows on the website, WMEXBoston.com, and check out some of our prior prompts. Also, if you are social media savvy, you can check us out on @LegacyLegalPlanning on all of the platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
If you are just joining us this evening, you are with Kendra and Michelle from Legacy Legal Planning. We're a law firm in Norwell, Massachusetts, and we help clients through the estate planning process and elder law to help give families peace of mind. So tonight we've been talking about the why. Why do people decide to do estate planning? What triggers them to take action and put together an estate plan? So far we have talked about asset distribution, avoiding probate, protecting minor children, minimizing estate taxes, and lifetime directives. So we're next topic that we're going to jump into of that why people come to see us.
Our favorite.
Which we've talked a little bit about earlier, but we're going
to... We will continue to talk about, right? Just to drive it home.
Is avoiding family disputes. This is one of the biggest reasons that we see estate planning can help to eliminate this. Because it is so common that when you don't have a plan in place, we find those disputes just get bigger and bigger because it's all he said, she said, mom wanted this, dad wanted that, and it really just leaves the door open for families.
Ambiguity is a four-letter word in the estate planning world. Because where there's question marks, where there's nothing that's clear and directed, then ensues, you know, misconceptions and folks, you know, coming up with their own ideas of what they thought things should be. And that's where the disputes turn into, you know, they go from verbal to legal very fast.
And clear and directed legally. You know, you can't just write on a napkin, I want my home to go to my daughter that's living with me. That's just not going to work.
And there's case law out there. Don't do it.
And so it does need to be done legally to be sure that you have those full protections and you're kind of minimizing those family disputes. Another time that we see it can help minimize family disputes is by having that conversation beforehand, even if you did planning. But let's say you are leaving more to one child versus another, maybe due to caregiving. Maybe one of your children have really, you know, taken care of you for the last 10 years and put their life on hold to help you. And because they love you and want to be sure that that's the case, and they're ensuring that, you know, you were taken care of. If there are times when people have decided, my daughter or my son has been there for me the last 10 years, maybe they retired early or, you know, they didn't take vacations to take care of me, and I want to kind of compensate that for them. And there are times when they might say, okay, I'm going to, if there's two children, they're going to do 70-30 instead. And when these kind of revelations are shown, when somebody passes away, it can cause a rift between the two children. And I have sat in meetings where I have had to sit down with the children and explain, you know, why mom chose to have it be 70-30. And when the one sibling came in that was getting the 30%, he was very upset. He didn't understand, you know, they're both children, everything should be equal. And then when we had a real conversation about what his sister had been doing, and she also said, like, look, this is what I've been having to do for mom over all these years. Luckily, he came to terms with it and understood it, and he didn't quite realize everything that she was doing. But that's not always the case of how these go. And it's much better to have that conversation and let your children know your intent beforehand, because it's going to come off better out of your own mouth and your own words than them hearing it after the fact.
And we see this a lot when real estate is involved. You might have one piece of property, or perhaps you have a home and a vacation home that you have different intentions for. There might be one child who assumes that, you know, the property is just going to be sold and everyone's going to divvy up the proceeds. But then there's one child who perhaps grew up in the family home, or there's one child with their family who utilized the New Hampshire property every summer, every winter, whatever it might look like. So they might have in their minds or their assumptions a certain way, and you might be assuming something else. So when you are, if it's not just the liquid cash assets, if we're talking about real estate as well, sometimes that's when we see some significant feelings about these things, because not only it's not just cash in this point, which, you know, who wouldn't appreciate cash, of course, but there's a lot of sentimentality around real estate and family vacations and family homes and things of that nature. So there are ways to plan for that. So if you are thinking that, you know, the homes might go to one child, the vacation home might go to another, or maybe you're the one who's saying, nope, liquidate it all, and the kids are saying, no. Having the conversations that Kendra's talking about is so important, and then equally making sure that it is clearly directed in your estate plan. And that way we have it in the documentation, but you have also let your feelings and your wishes and your goals be known ahead of time. That might just avoid them. They might not be happy, but they're hearing it from your words individually. And then alternatively, one other point is we often see some discord when one adult child is assuming that they're going to be the one named in a role where a decision-making role or a power role. And you have other wishes. You might name the oldest or the youngest or the middle child or whatever that might be. So having the conversations around that can also alleviate some family discord, because we very recently have had clients who are upset about the fact that it was a sibling named. They can't understand why the sibling was named in the position, but mom and dad had very particular reasons why. So again, having these discussions and then seeking out your estate planning professional to make sure that they're solidified.
And going a little away from real estate and powers, some of the stuff that's in your home that you may feel is not of value or not important. You know, I think a lot of times people kind of joke when we say, oh, you know, this is a memorandum for you to outline who you want your tangible assets to go to in your home. And those are literally anything from pots and pans to the couch to golf clubs to tools to the piano, you know, all those items that are in your home. And people a lot of times will kind of laugh and say, haha, like I have nothing. No one wants that stuff. Everyone has their own home or it's all junk, you know. But a lot of times there is something sentimental. And so it's worth having a conversation with your loved ones as you're doing planning of, hey, just let's get all on the same page here. What are some things? Is there anything actually here that you do care about and want? You know, I know we've talked about that gravy boat in the past, or, you know, or the couch or the table or, you know, whatever it might be.
The teacups.
Right. Asking that question and having that open conversation with your loved ones will just ensure that, yes, you might just think no one wants this stuff. But your loved ones may have a sentimental reason that they do. And it might be just one person wants it, or it could be two. And maybe that's where you need to have that conversation to determine who's going to get it and avoid that dispute in the future.
Yeah. So our overarching theme for avoiding family disputes, we could have several episodes on that. But frankly, discuss and document. Discuss it and then legally document your wishes.
And there is, you know, a memorandum, whether you do a will or a trust, we put together a memorandum that our clients can then fill out and leave certain items to their loved ones, the tangible items in the home. It was common, you know, that you used to have to list all this stuff specifically in your will. So you would write the teacups go to this person. Luckily, the laws have changed a little bit that you don't have to get that detailed in the will. You can do a memorandum when you get home and can see your things and think about it all. So you're not having to make sure you have that full list when you come into the attorney's office. But you should take these actions to help avoid
And you don't have to avoid us when you want to change it.
That's right. You don't have to worry about what is this going to cost? Because I know that's top of mind at times of, you know, I'm having a meeting and they're drafting up another document.
Right.
What is this going to cost us? And so it's a nice way to help minimize costs for clients as well. Another reason that people come oftentimes is to protect beneficiaries. Again, we've kind of touched this a bit earlier, but if you have beneficiaries that either are minor children and they should not be inheriting anything and you don't want that court process that we spoke about, that conservatorship, if you're leaving things through a will and leaving to minor children, you're not just opening up the probate process for your assets. You are opening up that conservatorship process for the minor children until they turn 18.
Right. As Liz has mentioned in several times, she does a lot of this in as part of her practice. The medical decision making and the financial decision making are actually two separate probate court processes that you have to go through on behalf of a minor child. So if whether you're leaving it to your minor child or to a minor grandchild, it's important that you're considering trust planning and making sure that you have it set up in any way, shape, or form to make sure that someone's there to access the funds and that they don't have to go through the probate court. And when we talk about beneficiaries that need protection, minor children and incapacitated individuals are sort of the things that we think of top of mind, but also adults who might have some issues with spending, might have substance abuse issues, might be going through a pretty heartbreaking and very tumultuous divorce, there are planning tools that you can do if you are leaving your assets in legacy to these individuals to preserve and protect protect them from themselves and from others, creditors, debtors, people who might take advantage of them. Things, you know, we see oftentimes folks who get into relationships and it doesn't turn out to be what it's what on the surface it looked like, and someone's financially exploiting them. So you have all of these opportunities, but if those are your goals and your wishes, that's a prompt to consider doing some you know, detailed planning that you know, we're very capable of doing.
I was just on the phone with another attorney colleague of ours on the way here, and
see, we call each other at all hours of the night. We collaborate, and it's a beautiful thing.
And we were talking about doing a trust for a client that owns part of a home with her children. But one of the things I brought up to her and she brought up in our conversation was we were talking about divorce and what happens, you know, if something happens to a parent and somebody was getting an inheritance, or if it's a inheritance for the future, they're getting divorced, but the husband says, oh, I know in 10 years, you know, whenever their mother passes away, they're going to be getting millions of dollars. Turns out that she had a client that she was representing the mom trying to get rid of the deposition and the order. The court, the husband that was divorcing the spouse, actually was arguing that his spouse was going to be inheriting like $1 million. But mom was still alive. Mom was not sick. Mom would die who knows when, you know. And it actually went down to the root that the court ordered mom to show her assets and everything in a divorce that's not even in her divorce.
Mm.
Blew my mind.
Yep.
I mean, she could disown her children. She could leave everything to charity. She could totally just spend all her money. And the fact that that's even now possibly play is insane.
Well, the point of that is sometimes the probate court is genuinely the Wild West. You know, yes. We're up here in the Northeast, but it is so very often the Wild West. You don't know what type of judge you're getting in front of. You don't know what the other lawyers got up their sleeve. You don't know who looks sympathetic and does not. There are a million things that could go awry, and none of it's nonsensical. That's the word we use sometimes, because, literally, you know, based on the law, XYZ should not be applicable. This should not happen. But when you end up in probate court, and part of the reasons why we try to keep people out of it is because it's really anything can happen. And it can be mind blowing. And we do get very emotionally involved on behalf of our clients.
And even other,
other attorneys and clients, we're very mad.
It's just mind blowing. I just don't even know how a court could open the door to her assets coming in.
Who's her lawyer? Who's his lawyer?
Well, right. I mean, to even fathom that the court ordered her assets to come in just totally blows my mind, because literally she could spend every cent. So that should never even come into play.
Right. Like you said, like, how on earth is that even a part of someone else's divorce proceeding? That makes no sense.
Nope.
But then again, taxes and the law, right?
Mind blown. The next common reason that we have people come to us is peace of mind. They want to not have these doubts and concerns of the probate court and added stress for their loved ones and added legal fees and court fees and publishing in the newspaper. And they want to have that peace of mind that if they ever became incapacitated while they were living, they know somebody can step right in without any concerns, without needing court order, without getting somebody's stamp of approval to be able to make the decisions that are needed. And so that peace of mind for during lifetime and then for after, to be sure that you're laying out the clear wishes and making things easy for your loved ones, they're going through a grieving process. So to, you know, have them have to jump through extra hoops. I had a client that, unfortunately, things have been open now for there was some litigation and stuff going on. It's been like 8 years. And she's like, I just want to be able to move on with this grieving process and not just keep having this wound torn open every time, thinking about my husband's passing every time I need to deal with this. And so this is the peace of mind that can really be given, not just for the client, but for their loved ones to be able to move forward in these difficult times.
Yeah, we utilize peace of mind quite a bit. It's not just a cliche thing that estate planning attorneys say. We genuinely have clients who we can see visibly, audibly, take that deep breath and say, wow, I feel so much better. They joke, I know I waited too long to do this. But I mean, picture this. You are, we just talked about this the other day. Maybe you're recently retired or you're getting ready to retire. You're looking forward to travel. You're an empty nester, hopefully. Kids are doing wonderfully. But maybe a sudden illness or something happens, car accident, you name it, and you've got nothing planned. What does that look like for you? What does that look like for your family members? What does that look like for your adult children coming in who might have to make a decision on you for your behalf, medical, financial, or otherwise, and they have no clue what you would want? What does that look like? Are you prepared? We have these discussions about how can we help our clients get through the process, because we know sometimes thinking about this stuff, I'm sure that what I just said might have caused a little anxiety in some of you. Hopefully it lights a fire in you to do the documentation, but in that case, we don't want you to, sit up at night and think about, goodness, I have to get this done. So it's the peace of mind is not something that's just said. It's really meant, it's valued, and it's such a vital part of our practice. And that's how we look at things every single day.
I've literally had people say to me, I think about this every night before
I know. And you're like, why? There's so much more things to think about. Isn't there a good show on that you could be binging?
Yep.
And don't think about this anymore. Get it done.
And they've literally been like, I can't wait to go to sleep and not think about this. Like the weight off their shoulders. Yeah. Yep. And it is. It is a weight. And I think when we think about it so often, it becomes, oh, I need to do that. But then that weight becomes a little heavier when you kind of put it off even a little bit more.
Yeah. And I mean, just because we talk about this day in and day out, we're not desensitized. We joke. Our sense of humor is particular. So we hope you like it. but you do have to have a little bit of laughter involved in it. It is a serious subject, but it doesn't have to. We don't have to go about it so ominously. So there are things that you should think about. And we hope we do in a way that doesn't make it so scary and so daunting. I think people, it's almost like, you're going to the doctor's office. It's that weird feeling. But sometimes when you get into the office, you're like, oh, these ladies aren't so bad.
I think at a lot of the end of our meetings, people, when we get to signing and everything's done, they're just like, can I just give you a hug? This feels so great to be over. You walked me through the process and it was so easy. And I can't believe I put it off this long. And so it is a great feeling. And yeah, it is. You see that weight lifted off of our clients'
shoulders.
And
we have so many people who walk in with the proverbial tail between their legs. And we're like, stop it. Don't do that to yourself. No beating yourself up in here. We're very lucky that nothing has happened, and we're going to continue to make sure that you're taken care of in the future. We like you said, we have no crystal ball. We can't predict what's going to happen, but no tail between your legs, no woulda, shoulda, coulda. We'll joke with you a little bit about it. Like the ones who say my kids are grown and we still don't know who's going to get them. but in that case, you're doing it now. You're present. You're getting it done. Move forward from there and feel the peace of mind for yourself.
So another reason that people often will come to do an estate plan is asset preservation. We talked a little bit about this with the minimizing the estate taxes, but then also there are times that people are concerned about long-term care. What if I do need to go into a nursing home? We don't have that much money. We can't be paying $17,000 a month for that nursing home care. Or I want to be sure that there is a nugget to go to my children. I don't want, what do I do for that? How do I care for that and be sure that they're taken care of? So asset preservation and talking about how to be able to properly preserve those assets if they were to end up into a nursing home is something that we do. And commonly people will come to us with those concerns. And it's not a one size fits all. We have some people come to us with the idea of, I need to do this asset preservation tool if I need long-term care, but then they learn about it a little bit more and maybe realize that it's not the best tool for them. We have others that, yep, this is it. Let's go with it. So it all depends on the client, on their goals, on their specific situation. And so as much as, there's people out there saying, protect all your assets and do this, today, It's not that simple. And there's no such thing as protecting all your assets.
And this is an area where we get a lot of, well, you know, my neighbor did this. My friend did this. My friend told me, we have a client who lives in a beautiful assisted living in close in our area. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of girls that they do activities together. And a lot of, you know, we're ladies, we chit chat a lot, right? So we talk to each other about our family and the things that we're doing. And she called our office frantic one day and saying, my girlfriend's telling me I need to do this and I need to do it yesterday. And then we went over her particular situation and sort of reiterated, is this the best planning tool for you, or are you just sort of, you know, is this person, it might have been beautiful for her and her family, but it did not apply in my client's situation. So this is an area where there's a lot of, oh, you didn't do that? We did it 5 years ago. And you'll hear that 5-year look back, and we can do a whole show on that again. We'll keep repeating that one because that definitely deserves repeating. But this is an area that, you know, we've said it 2 times already, but seek individual legal advice. There are those common sort of scare tactic words out there, and they do apply to specific rules and regulations, but then we have to match up what your goal is, what your assets look like, what your capabilities are. All of these things go into, so this sort of asset preservation in particular as it relates to long-term care planning is so individualized. Every person, every family, the dynamic is different. So yeah, let it, you know, if you've got some worries about it, going back to the peace of mind thing, if it's keeping you up at night, reach out and we'll go over it with you.
And that's really, I think, a huge piece of it is get that information. Don't just sit and think, oh, I need to do this, or is this what I need to do? Find out, you know, do that research, talk to a specialized attorney that's focused on estate planning and elder law to find out if you're going the right route or if it's a route that you can take. So our final reason that we have many people come to us and choose to do their estate plan is a life change or a crisis that is happening. Sometimes it might be death of a loved one. That is a common one that people say, oh, I just lost my mother and, you know, she didn't have a plan. And now I am dealing with the court. Or my mother's in the hospital and we didn't have a healthcare proxy. And now we're going through that guardianship process. And so they're choosing to, you know what, I now need to take care of this for myself too.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously we, with what we do, of course, we deal with very emotional, sad, tragic situations. But death of a loved one can also mean the death of a beneficiary. And if you have a particular plan in place for that beneficiary and we suddenly lose them, we want to make sure that your plan is updated to keep it efficient even, you know, in that regard. But just to make sure that, you know, we have a lot of the discussions of, well, if this happens, then what? So we have these proverbial future discussions. But when they actually happen, when you've taken the time to grieve, of course, you want to make sure that you revisit your estate plan to see if you need to make any changes.
And so we hope that tonight you've learned a bit about the reasons why people do estate plans.
We hope we didn't scare you off too much. Maybe some motivation.
Hopefully one of these reasons might have triggered with you and been, you know, kind of tell you, oh, I should really look into this and do this. We do want to make you aware of a couple of things that we have going up specifically on May 8th. Of this year, 2024, we are hosting a event called the Senior Celebration. It is the 29th annual Senior Celebration. South Shore News has been the host for years. We are joining in hosting the event. It will be filled with 60 plus sponsors that provide services for seniors, whether it's home health aides, assisted livings, financial planners, real estate agents, movers, medical equipment, really a big broad band of support for seniors. This is a great event to attend if you are at the point of thinking, you know, I should at least just start maybe looking a little bit into the future,
collecting
what things could look like.
Some names and some swag. There's usually some good swag.
There is some good swag. Or if you're a caregiver, this is a way to learn about some different options out there for your loved ones. It is going to be held at the Holiday Inn in Dedham, and it will be from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. We will be talking about it every radio show up till May 8th.
We won't let you forget.
And we won't let you forget either, because I'm pretty sure WMEX will be doing the music that day. So even more of a reason to come out there and meet all of us all in one swing. And who knows, maybe you'll end up getting your plan in place that very day.
Maybe Ben will give out an autograph or two. I don't know. I don't want to.
I don't know. I think I've given one autograph in the last 4 years. So
I hope they
knows?
Hung on to it.
I hope they did.
So we hope that this is an event that you can come to. It is free. There's no cost, you know, for people to come and meet the vendors. So we'd love for you to come meet us and meet them to just learn about the different things that are out there for you. And then we want to thank you for listening to Legacy Legal Live tonight on WMEX Boston. Again, we're from Legacy Legal Planning in Norwell. We are estate planning attorneys that help leave your legacy for your loved ones. Please don't hesitate to contact our office and schedule that complimentary 15-minute call so that we can maybe answer some of the questions that you didn't want to call in and ask. The phone number is 781-971-5900, or you can contact us on our website, legacylegalplanning.com. And thank you so much again for joining us tonight on WMEX Boston.